and I thank you for participating in that also. And hope that you enjoyed it as well. If you have your Bibles, find your way to the book of Mark. And the chapter is 5. When you get there, say amen.
Amen.
If you don't mind, I'd like to read the whole story so that we can get the full picture. The Bible says in verse number 1, "And they came over unto the other side of the sea, into the city of Gerasarin. And when they had come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had dwelled among the tombs, and no man could bind him, not with chains, but that he had been often bound with fetters and chains. And the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken into pieces. Neither could any man tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshiped him." And crying with a loud voice and said, "What have I to do with you, with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not." For he said unto him, "Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit." And he asked him, "What is thy name?" And he answered and said, "My name is Legion, for we are many." And he besought him much that he would not send them out of the country. Now there was there nigh unto the mountain a great herd of swine feeding. And all the devils besought him, saying, "Send us into the swine, that we may enter into them." And forthwith Jesus gave them leave, and the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. They were about 2,000 and were choked in the sea. And they that fed the swine fled, told it in the city and the country, and they went out to see what it was that was done. And they came to Jesus, seeing him that was possessed with the devil, and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. And they that saw it told them how it befell to him that was possessed with the devils, and also concerning the swine. And they began to pray. And they began to pray him to depart out of their coast. And when he was come into the ship, he that had been possessed with the devils prayed him that he might be with him. Howbeit, Jesus suffered him not, but said unto him, "Go home, tell thy friends Tell them how great things the Lord has done for thee and has had compassion on thee. And he departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him, and all men did marvel. Go home and tell your story. Is that all right with you? Have you ever heard the conversation of folk who been on a long trip and they come back? Y'all got time? They come back and they want to tell their story. Usually they're excited, and the story that they're telling is excited, and their adventures and travels are exciting. And sometimes the dramatic account of the sights and deeds seem unbelievable. Somehow, y'all know what I'm talking about. Somehow their account gives us a feel that what the journey must have been like, and they attempt to put us in the place where they were and talk about the things that they seen and touched and tasted and how they were there in that region, and they try to capture the whole story when they come back. Anybody know what I'm talking about? To a great extent, a great part of any journey is the storytelling when you come back home. See, it's not all about what you did while you were there, but it's how you're going to tell that story when you get back home. Are y'all still out there? You know, sometimes the reporting given is not about the place seen or the deeds done. Sometimes it's just about the change of attitude that took place in us while we were there. Sometimes we go to places where we learn new things about ourselves and about others in this world, and it makes us have a new appreciation for who we are. Are y'all still there? Consider the man who left home disgusted with what he concluded an absence of godliness everywhere. It appeared that God was absent and that godliness was nowhere in the world to be found. He assumed the attitude, if you will, my brother, put it up for me on the screen back there so everybody can see what I'm talking about. He assumed the attitude that God is nowhere, which became his slogan. And everywhere he went, he was telling folk, God is nowhere. Many years later, much to the surprise of his family and friends, he returned home with a bright smile on his face. Are y'all still there? Immediately, his family members noticed that there was something different about this man. There was something different about his attitude. There was something about him. There was a glow about him. And they asked him, what was this newfound glow that was on his face? He said, well, before I left home, I had the problem of W's. Family members looked at him kind of puzzled, and they said, W's? He said, yeah, when I left home, I had all these W's. I had misplaced W's in my life. I just couldn't get it together. And I was always asking when I was here at home, where was God? I was asking, when would God change things in my life? I was asking why God didn't do this or God didn't do that. I had all these W's in my life. Are y'all still there? I was plagued with misplaced W's. And he explained that he read one day John chapter 3 and verse number 16. Y'all know this passage. It says, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believe in him will not perish but have everlasting life. He said, I read that passage and it made a difference in my life. And he said, I went from God is nowhere to God is now here. Was a misplaced W. If you can look at it on the thing up here, you just take the W from off of where and put it on the no, and you find out that God is not nowhere, but God is now here. I ought to have a witness this morning. Somebody ought to be able to tell me that God is here because you and God are friends. Somebody ought to say amen. Amen. I know that God is with me wherever I go. The Bible said that God is omnipresent. He's everywhere. There's nowhere that I can go that God can't go. And guess what? When I get there, God has already showed up. Somebody ought to say amen. But this text that we're looking at this morning here in Mark, I like Mark because Mark uses the word every time. Mark is in a hurry. Mark throughout his gospel is in a hurry. He wants to let you know that everything is about urgency. He said that when Jesus had come out the ship, immediately a man came up to him. He said while they were on their way, immediately things started happening. He said when Jesus did this, immediately stuff started happening. And Mark wants us to know that everything about life ought to be an urgency. It ought to be about being decisive. It ought to be about getting things done in life. He says that immediately a man ran up to Jesus and asked Jesus some questions. He began to worship him. And, you know, the demons had lost control when Jesus came around. Are y'all still out there? The Bible said that nobody could tame this man. Nobody could slow this man down. They would tie him up in chains and put fetters on him, and he would break the chains and break the fetters, and he was running around naked all over the place making a mockery, and he hung out with dead folk. Are y'all still out there? He would hang out in the mountains with the goats and all the wild animals, and he would hang out in the tombs with the dead folk. When you're not in your right mind, you might end up anywhere. Somebody will say amen. Sleeping among dead folk. But you know, on this occasion, the text talks about Jesus visiting the countryside of Gerasarin. And he preached and he taught and he tried to tell people about God. And this man came up to him with these evil demons in him. And immediately, there's a miracle that takes place. Jesus gets rid of the demons. Anybody got any demons they don't want to get rid of this morning? Anybody got any demons they want to get rid of this morning? If you got some demons you want to get rid of, you ought to bring them to Jesus. You see, the demons had control, but when Jesus showed up, the man got a little bit of control and ran over to the only one that could help him. Sometimes you don't have anywhere else to go in life. You've tried everything else. You tried dope. And you found out there wasn't no hope in dope. Somebody else say amen. To quote Jesse Jackson. You tried everything else. You tried alcohol. You tried to sedate yourself. You tried to saturate your body with alcohol, to sedate yourself with medications, and it still don't work. Sometimes you just go to sleep. No one get up. Somebody know what I'm talking about. You're depressed. You're confounded with all the things in this world and you have nowhere else to go. Why don't you bring your demons to Jesus and let Jesus exorcise you? I wish I had somebody in here know what I'm talking about this morning. I wish I had somebody who had some troubles in their life in here this morning. I wish I had some real folk in here this morning. I wish I had some people in here who really had some troubles this morning. I wish I had some unsanctified folk in here. Amen. I wish I had some people in here who knew what it really was to go through some troubles, who had been through some stuff, who going through some stuff, who really need Jesus this morning. You see, the one demonic man was immediately sane. It was a miracle at least, and remarkable things can be done when the power of God come into your life. Oh, I'm telling you, I know because I've gone through some stuff myself and I had my own demons. Amen. Every once in a while, they try to come back. Amen. The demonics were grateful that Jesus wanted to let them go and into the river and drown themselves. They just wanted to get away from the man because they said, we don't want to have anything to do with Jesus. And demoniac, who had been possessed with these demons, wanted to sit at the feet of Jesus. He asked Jesus, said, Jesus, can I just go with you? I just want to worship you. I just want to worship all day long, Lord. I just want to be with you all day long. And something strange happened. Jesus said, no. Go home. Tell your friends. Tell your family what I've done for you. Don't need for you to follow me around and worship all day long. I need you to go out and tell somebody. I don't need you to be in worship all the time. I need you to go out and tell your story. I need you to reach out to folk who don't know anything about me and tell your story. Reluctantly, the man returned home and began to tell his story because the Lord said, I don't want you just sitting at my feet. Anybody know what I'm talking about? You know, worship is a privilege. And service is a duty. It'd be nice if we could worship all the time. I love the Church of Christ. I love the Church of Christ. I've been in the Church of Christ now for almost some 35 years. But, you know, we can turn anything into a Bible study. Say amen if you can. We can turn anything into a Bible study. We can turn anything into a worship service. Somebody ought to say amen. There's a time for worship. There's a place for worship. But you can't worship all the time. You got to do something with your worship. You got to go out and serve. So Jesus said, I don't want you at my feet. Go home. Go tell somebody what I've done for you. The demoniac man was released from the possession of evil spirit. A mighty work had been done in his life. And he wanted to spend his entire life in constant worship and praise of Christ, though his request to stay with Jesus was denied. Now, I know that's going contrary to some of our doctrine, because our doctrine teaches us that, you know, the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 25. Isn't that right? Forsaking not the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but all the more as you see the day approaching. You got to always be in worship. Folks, you got to serve. And there's more than one way to worship and glorify God. Amen. It can truthfully be said that most churches, whether Baptist or Charismatic or Methodist or Church of Christ, always spend a great portion of their resources and time participating in worship and praise. Somebody ought to say amen. Child, we got our praise on this morning. It was the preacher was off the chain. And I ain't really get along with what he was saying, but he was off the chain. Resources are connected to singing praise in the garden and praying and discussing and debating and conducting formal worship programs. And the attendance paid to the personal emotional experience is extraordinary. Somebody said a Baptist wants something to shout about. Charismatic wants something, an opportunity to lift up holy hands and speak in tongues and amen if you can. And we want to have an opportunity to always worship God. And we love to be in the sanctuary. We love to be among folk. And we love to hear good sermons. Y'all out there? I'm going to get there because, you know, Jesus said, go home. Tell your story. You got to do something now. You've been saved. You've been delivered. You got something to tell folk about. Go home and tell you. If you won the lottery, you'd be trying to tell. No, you'd probably be trying to hide from him. Never mind. Like the disciples on the Mount of Transfiguration, you know, we are overwhelmed by the sheer beauty of heaven, and we want to build tabernacles to stay there forever. Build a great building so we can have somewhere to combine ourselves and worship together and everything. And that's all fine and dandy. But God says that there's a lot of folk out there in the world who are not in the building. You can't just worship in the building. You got to get out and tell folk. So Jesus said, go on. Go tell your story. Go tell folk what I've done for you. You once was insane, but now you're sane. You got a story to tell. You've got a testimony to share. You ought to go share it with somebody. Somebody needs to know what I'm talking about. While worship experience has its place, it's a privilege. It's a privilege, you know, of the saved that is best exercised after. Let me say it slowly because, you know, while worship experience has its place, it's a privilege that is best exercised after duty has been done. Y'all like me. You see, you can best worship when you've done something that glorifies God to be proud of. See, but what we have in our mind is that we are coming to service. We are not going out to serve. We are coming to serve us. Now, let me say it slow. Serve us. And so if we got that mentality in our mind, we don't have any reason to go out and serve them. Because it's about serving us. And so when we come to serve us, we forget that that's a privilege. Somebody ought to say amen. You see, worship and praise of God is an inseparable part of the Christian faith. And I'm not saying that we are not to worship, but what I am saying is that we can't worship all the time. It's not about worship all the time. It's about serving God. It's about being able to be present with folk who don't have God. You see, sometimes we think that, I've just told you that I know that God is omnipresent. But you have to keep in mind that God's presence is also felt through you. Because we are his hands and we are his feet. You know, Jesus said, when I was hungry, you fed me. When I was naked, you clothed me. When I was in prison, you visited me. And they said, Lord, when have we done those things? He says, when you have done it unto the least of them, then you have done it unto me. So that's the way we serve God. That's because God's using our hands and our feet and our minds and our presence to be in the person's life that we are around every day. Somebody else say amen. You see, because sometimes, I think about the fact that, you know, the wife who has the husband who drinks a little bit, and she said, child, I wanted him to learn the scripture. So I start putting scripture on the bottom of his beer cans and on the coasters. And Peter says that a godly woman can win her husband over without uttering one scripture. He says it's not about the outward adornment, but it's about the inward beauty. Are y'all still out there? So you don't have to go around beating him over the head, putting scripture on his coaster because he's drinking that beer. He's too drunk to read it anyway. I'm just trying to help y'all. See, so service is not always about just quoting scripture to folk. You know, it's like the woman who was riding in the car and she was going down the street and the police pulled over and he said, ma'am, she said, what do I do, officer? He said, I just wanted to check and see if this car was stolen because you got on the back that you love Jesus and the way you were acting don't. And Jesus released the demons. Sometimes you have to be careful. The way you act says a whole lot about more than you say. See, you can quote scripture all day long. You can tell folk where to find it in the Bible, but do you live the scripture? So what Jesus said to this man, he said, look, I understand. I know that you want to stand at my feet all day. I know you want to worship all day long. I know you like a good Bible study. I know that you like a good worship service. I know that you like good singing. I know that you like good preaching. But you also have to serve because worship is a privilege and service is a duty. And nobody can escape that. You have to go out and tell folk your story. Amen. However, the premium in the sight of God is on kingdom building or serving others. Our daily devotion is the moment in which we pause to thank God for the opportunity to serve other folk. You know, I always tell people about the 23rd Psalm. I love that Psalm because it says in there, my cup runneth over. And I always want to know why, how do people interpret cup running over? You know, cup running over can mean many things. I know that when back in the ancient days, when you went into a person's house and they were glad to see you, they would just fill your cup up and it would run over. But it also demonstrated that that person had enough wealth and enough ability to give you more than you needed. Amen. They gave you more than you needed. So and it was to shower you with gifts and give you more than you were worthy of. But when you look at the fact that if your cup is running over, you ought to be able to share with somebody else. So if God has blessed you this morning, if God has redeemed you this morning, if God has restored you this morning, amen? If God has released you this morning, you ought to be able to get up and say something to somebody, tell somebody what God did for you. You don't have to really be elegant. You know, folks, well, I can't really teach no Bible class. That's because you're trying to teach all this stuff that you really don't understand. You know, I don't have to know theology, and I don't have to know anything about soteriology and eschatology and all those kind of theologies. I don't have to know all that stuff. All I need to know is that Jesus, I was in a mess, and Jesus fixed me. You know, it's kind of like going to the doctor, and the doctor, they explain, they tell you all this stuff, and they say, well, you got this, you got this, you got this, and they using all these big old terms, and you're saying, what's wrong with me? And you go back home, and your wife or your husband ask you, or your family member ask you what was wrong when you say, well, to tell you the truth, my big toe was hurting. Now, he explained it in some fancy term, but my big toe was hurting. And he gave me this medication. He told me to take it 3 times a day, and it's going to fix it. Are y'all out there? See, you don't have to be able to explain exactly the way the doctor said it to tell folk what the doctor did for you. So you don't have to have a whole lot of theological degrees and all this to be able to teach the gospel. Just tell folk good news. You know, here's good news. In Baton Rouge, there used to be a store. I don't know if it was here or not. Piggly Wiggly. Down at the Piggly Wiggly, there's a sale going on. You better go down there and get you. They sell them five for a dollar at the Piggly Wiggly. Aldi's. Amen. That's good news. That's the simple story. Jesus said, just go home and tell folk what I did for you. You don't have to go home and tell them how I did it. Now you see, Jesus exercised it, and what he did was he called up on heaven, and God went into the laboratory, and he reached in, and he twisted the button and all this stuff. That's not what happened. The demons came out of me. I used to be running around naked. Now I got my clothes on. I got my mind back. I don't have to explain how Jesus did it. I don't even care how Jesus did it. That's for Jesus to know. Jesus did it. Hey, fine. You know, it's kind of like somebody, grandmama used to always say, don't look a gift horse in the mouth. Always wonder what that meant. She said, well, if somebody give you a horse, and the way you check the horse is you want to see if the horse is healthy, you check his teeth. Amen. But if somebody gives you a horse and it got bad teeth, hey, yesterday you didn't have a horse. Today you got a bad teeth horse. So you don't look a gift horse in the mouth. You don't try, where'd you get this money from? Somebody else say amen. Daily devotion prepares us for a day of service. The object is a privilege. A moment to take to thank God for empowering presence that God has given to us, for being among us. That's why we come to worship. We're not coming here to get energized. We're coming here to thank God for what God has already done for us, for bringing us through the week and getting us here where we can thank God for all that he did for us and through us. And through us. Somebody ought to say amen. Because a lot of times they just get for us, but not through us. Somebody ought to say amen. Those who want to worship constantly have little appreciation for service. Perhaps that's why Jesus' words to the demoniacs still rings out in the ears. Tell them how great things God has done. That's all you need to do. That's it. It's a simple task. I don't have to know everything. I just need to know what God has done for me. And guess what? Your story is not my story. You know, there was some fellas in the book of Acts who came and said, "We adjure you, but in the name of Jesus that Paul preach." See, you can't go out and preach with somebody if somebody else is Jesus. You got to preach your own Jesus. Somebody ought to say amen. You got to tell them what Jesus did for you. See, the challenge, though, is that you have to return home. And I know returning home is not easy. When I first became a Christian, I went home and tried to tell folk about Jesus, and they say, "We don't want to hear that." See, they didn't want to hear my words. They wanted to see my actions. Because they knew me before I went in the water. Amen. And they wanted to see how I had changed when I came out the water. So I had to not only just tell them with my words, I had to show them with my actions. Somebody need to say, "Man, I'm going to end this thing in a minute," you know. It would have been easy if Christ had challenged him to go home and to some distant place, you know, go somewhere else where nobody know you. But he told him, "No, you need to go back home." Amen. It's hard to go back home to a spouse that you've been beating on and tell them that you changed. You know the Lord now. The Lord had exercised those demons. No, you got to show that spouse that the Lord has exercised those demons. Somebody ought to say amen. You see, because that demon was in you for a long time. And so Jesus didn't tell him, you know, go to somebody that don't know you. It's easy to go to folk who we don't know. But when you're talking to people that you do know, that's why we have so much conflict with the people that know us, because they know us. Amen. You see, you can't quote scripture in the kitchen and cuss folk out in the living room. The Lord said, but I say, somebody will say amen. It would have been easy if Christ had challenged him just to go some distant place, but he was challenged to go home and tell his story. It's the hardest place to do good work, and we all know that. Because when I can get around folk that don't know me, you know, I can always act something different. Somebody else say amen. You can get around, you come to church and folk don't know you at church. That's why folk move from church to church, because once folk get to know them at the church, they won't go to another church where they don't know them. I'm gonna be done in a minute, y'all. It would have been easy to tell it somewhere else. It would have been better received if he had told it to somebody else. Rather than rejoicing at the great change in his life back home, the people would probably conclude that he was never possessed in the first place. He was just acting a fool, running around naked, and he just was lazy and didn't want to work. Amen. But now he's in his right mind. Got his clothes back on. Not out with dead folk anymore. Trying to live with the live folk. And it's easier to live with dead folk than it is to live with live folk. I don't know if anybody know that. Many church members have left the church home frustrated over the perceived stubbornness and insensitive of a small handful of folk. Some are meeting in hotels, storefronts, back rooms. Some are wandering from denomination to denomination, looking for a place where they can simply sit at Jesus' feet and feel his presence. They're grateful to God that they've been saved and has lifted them up, and they want to praise him in uninterrupted peace and joy. At Jesus' feet, they would constantly be in the physical presence of the Master, safe and secure from the world. At Jesus' feet, they could be filled daily with the power and the presence of God. Yet the word of the Savior still rings out. Go home. No need you sitting at my feet all day. And besides, I only have 2 feet. When Jesus sent the demoniac back home, he didn't send him home alone. You see, you need to realize that you're not alone. God is going to go with you. He wasn't helpless anymore. He wasn't crazy anymore. He was not defenseless anymore. He was not going to be slaughtered by the folk that was at home. He had the power of the Holy Spirit to guide him. Likewise, those who return home to witness to the poor, the needy, the downtrodden about the power of God, don't go home alone. They're followed by the unseen comforter. The spiritual presence of Christ is with you to guide you and sustain you. Are y'all still out there? You see, we have a story, finally. Let me bring this thing to an end. We have a story. I don't know what your story is. I don't know how you came to be in Christ. I don't know what you were going through before you came to Christ. I don't know what your life was like before you came to Christ. And somebody say, well, my life is still the same as it was before. Well, perhaps you haven't been released yet. Perhaps you haven't been restored yet. Perhaps you haven't been redeemed yet. Perhaps you need to get right with God today. Perhaps you still hanging around with the dead folk. Somebody ought to say amen. You see, when we consider the challenge that the demoniac had to witness because he had to tell his story, you need to know anybody in here can tell a story. It's not hard. We're called by God to witness where we are. Whoever you run into. No, I'm not talking about every time you look up, let me tell you my story. Let me tell you my story. No, that's not what I'm talking about. You see, telling your story is not always with words. I've already told you that. You don't have to go around trying to hem folk up in a corner and lock them in. You got to listen to my story. No, that's not what you're doing. You're telling them your story through living your life. You're letting them see the light shine through you. The man who's hungry, who's been hungry, but now feel has a story to tell and a duty to help feed other folk. If you was hungry and now you have food, you ought to feed other folk. You know what it means to be hungry. You've been through it. The woman who was thirsty but found the living water has a story to tell and a duty to help other folk find that crystal fountain where the water runs and flows from. It's your duty to tell folk where the water is. Can't hard it all to yourself. No, child, I'm just going to go to service and I'm going to go into worship and I'm going to worship all day long and I'm not going to tell anybody else where I found the water at because the water might run out. Man who was destitute, jobless, and homeless has a story to tell and a duty to help other folk find the same saving Lord that they found. Every saved saint has a story. Jonah had a story. He didn't want to tell it to the folk of Nineveh, though. He ran from telling his story. Anybody in here running like Jonah? Jonah tried to run ahead of God. Jonah tried to run from God. But then finally Jonah ended up running to God. You can run, but you can't hide. Somebody will say amen. Ezekiel had a story. He had to tell it to dried up bones in the valley. But God told them that to tell them, I can lift them up again. They might be dry bones right now, but they can get up once again. He had to tell a story because he was like fire shut up in his bone. David had a story to tell. He had risen to a lofty royal height and fallen to the depths of despair. Yet he declared, the Lord is my shepherd and I shall not want. He leadeth me through to the still waters, right? Leading, making me lie down in green pastures. And even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'm not going to fear any evil because thy rod and thy staff is with me. That's his story. He's telling that story. He said, look, I was in a good place and I fell to a bad place. But God brought me out of the bad place and put me back in the good place. And I just want to tell everybody, the Lord is my shepherd. And when I need correction, he corrects me. When I need grass, he grows it for me. When I need water, he steals it for me. I'm telling you, I got a good story to tell. And I want everybody to know, the Lord is my shepherd. Woman at the well had a story to tell. She met a man who pierced beneath the veneer of her public perception and saw her soul. A lot of us got on the facade. We want to look good. We all vogue on Sunday, but we vague during the week. She ran through the city shouting, "Come see a man. Come see a man who knows everything about me." She had a story to tell. Somebody needs to say amen. I hear the Savior challenging believers to go home and tell their friends the good news that the Lord has done. Even though there may be legions of apathetics sitting in the place here today, there may be folks who don't feel like they have any place and they think that it's somebody else's duty to do it, because if anybody going to do it, then nobody will do it and everybody ought to do it. And I don't know how it all go, but it doesn't matter. It don't get done. Are y'all still out there? Go home and tell your story to the indigents and record how God saved your life. Go home and tell the melancholy that God can lift them up. Go home and tell everybody that God has done something good for you. Somebody else say amen. I'm just about done, folk. I told you that the man was released. God will release you this morning. If you've gone through some stuff, if you're in a trap that you feel you can't get out of, God can release you. You know, there's nothing worse than having a whole bunch of stuff in your life that you feel like you can't get out of. Bills are too heavy for you. And you're in a relationship that you can't get out of. You're being smothered in. Somebody else say amen. You're in some kind of debt that you can't get out of. God can help you out of that too. Somebody else say amen. First thing you need to realize is that God wants your money because it's his money. And God can show you how to use his money. If you will allow him to, you might be suffering from something that God is trying to help you out of. God can release you this morning. And then God can restore you. Restoring means that God will simply bring you back to where you used to be. See, David had fallen. He was up high. And then he fell. And God restored him back to that once again. Now you need to understand something about restoring. When the Bible says over there, restore such a one in Galatians, it's about restoring a net. And what you need to understand about the restoration process is that the restoration of the net is that you're trying to put the net back together so that it can be useful again. Somebody need to listen to me what I'm about to say here. You see, sometimes we bring people back into church and we restore them. We say we're restoring them, but we don't put them back to use anymore. You see, because we've got to watch them for a while and see if they are worthy enough to get back up and pass out the communion. We got to watch them enough to see if they are able to pick up the collection. We got to watch them enough to see if they're worthy enough to lead song. We got to watch them enough to see if they're worthy enough to get up and preach again, because we don't restore them to usefulness. We restore them to watchfulness.
Yes, sir. That's all right.
And if we're going to let them get back in, we got to realize that we got to put them back in you. You don't take a fishing net. That's what that passage over there is when it talks about restoring. It's about fixing that net so that net can be used again to catch fish. So the restoration process is you've been released from whatever you've been dealing with. Now you're going to be restored to usefulness again, and we're going to put you back in use as soon as possible. No self-respecting fisherman would take the net and say, "Well, I'm going to watch it for a while it's set in the boat and see if it's going to be functional enough. I don't want to put it out there and then it's going to let all the fish get out. I've got to put it out in the water, let it go and catch some fish and see if it's going to fail. And if it fails, then I'm going to fix it. But I'm not going to sit in the boat and say, I'm going to watch it for a while." No, y'all did. Then he was redeemed.
And you need to understand the redemption process. When I was younger, and some of y'all probably young enough to know what I'm talking about, we used to have the Coca-Colas. Coca-Colas came in a bottle, in a glass bottle. And everybody, you know, I was part of the time I lived out in the country, so everybody had one of them 24 crates, you know, wooden crates, the wooden ones. And now they got the fancy paper ones that you can just put in there, you know, and you would have that thing on your front porch. And see, entrepreneurial young man would go around to everybody's house and say, y'all want me to take y'all bottles back?
Yes.
And get that red Western Flyer wagon that he had. Western Flyer from Western Auto. Y'all don't know nothing about that either. Take them wooden crates, put in there, and go around and get everybody, y'all want me to take y'all bottles back? They're like, why you won't take our bottle back? Because they're going to give me a penny for every bottle I bring back. And if I get 100 bottles, I can get a dollar. I get 50, I get 50 cents. I get one crate, 24. I'm one short of a quarter. But the reason I'm taking them back is because they belong to somebody else. They want to redeem them. And they're willing to pay me to get their bottles back. You belong to God, and God wants you back. Will you allow him to take back what belongs to him? Now, he's going willing to pay for it. He sent his son to die for you on the cross. And because he died on the cross for you, he has already paid with his blood, and he's just wanting you to come on, get in that little red wagon, Western Flyer, and be drug home. If you will come. But if you don't want to come, you don't have to come. But if you come, I promise you, you will have a story to tell. And when you have a story to tell, you can worship. But come to worship after you have served and have something to worship about. Are y'all still out there? Because worship is a privilege. Service is a duty. And nobody in the Church of Christ can just worship all day long. You've got to serve God in order to worship God. Are y'all still here? Anybody want to be released? Anybody want to be restored? Anybody want to be redeemed? If you want these things, you can come right now as we stand and sing the song of invitation.
Holy Spirit, dwell in me.